So we're talking about how a person should feel when they come to the Seder, and how a person who looks for the depths of inner realities of life all year long, how they would approach Pesach. They look at this day of Hashem's giving tremendous, tremendous love for us, and therefore our bodies feel compelled to do so much for Hashem. So we're on the top of page Reish. And the person remembers how it would have been in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We would have brought our korban. We would have sang such holy song to Hashem. So we'll start again at the top of the page. Ve'ata hakol nilkach mi'itanu, and now everything's been taken away from us. Avol avinu, but our father me'oz, you were our father then. Gam atolana, you're a father for us now. Es avaso v'esiraso, his love and his awe. Mina eish, mina cherev, hitzalnu, ubilibenu tomanu, from has saved us from the fire, from the sword. And in our hearts, he's hidden. Ves halal kamo milifanim. And like the halal, like in the old days, gamatol lefanof nashir. So now we will sing before him as well. Lavelus latsus misararta. We don't arouse mourning and sadness. Rak ga'anguim el ri'as hod kedushaso. But it's yearnings to seeing the splendor of his holiness. Vel mishkan kvodomeos, and to see his temple as it was then. Misurim banu arouses on us. It's a yearning and a longing for a Beis HaMikdash, yearning to come back to that state. And therefore, anefesh miskaberes, the soul gets strong. Veskala mechitza shaveres, and all the barriers are broken. Hevdla makom lo yatsru, the distance of place, the barrier of place doesn't hold you back. We're not in Yerushalayim in the temple, but it doesn't matter. Place isn't a barrier. And the barrier of time doesn't hold it back. We live in a different era. Because with a soul, ain geshem velo gvulo, there's no physicality, there are no boundaries for a soul. And therefore we can connect to that time that was so beautiful thousands of years ago in such a place that was so holy. We're able to connect to that very time. That's what the soul is feeling. And together with those who went out of Egypt from before, and with those people who brought the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, together with them, we now serve our holy service right now. Gufeinu as hamatzas oifa, our bodies are baking the matzas. V'nishmasenu oreges kosefes v'sahalal shora, and our souls are yearning and pining, and sing the halal. So that's the feeling you have as you're coming on Erev Pesach. Not the way most people come to Erev Pesach, right? Yeah, we're too frantically focusing on all the superficial aspects of the holiday, and not really understanding what it's all about. Keinu Adavar, this is the way it really is. The way we should appreciate Pesach, but that only happens. Rak mishagam b'chol ha'shana mis'orer, v'naf shu kam avoy l'ma'at. Only someone who a whole year long, his soul arises and gets up a little bit from the mundane realities, and we're able to get in touch and pick ourselves up to what the way our soul can see things. Only such a person, margish as a Pesach mal, can he really understand what Pesach is. This would be a great Shabbos Shuvah drush right here. Avol b'chol ha'shana, but the truth is all year long, yesh zmanim shalibo shalish naifel bekirbo. There are times when a person's heart falls from inside of himself. We go through times where we say, bameh ani Yisrael, what makes me a Yid? What makes me a Jew? Ve'av sheshomer ani aseh Torah, but even though I'm watching the Torah, I'm keeping the Torah. But who can guarantee for me that my Torah observance is being accepted above? How can I know that my service to Hashem is legitimate and genuine? It's l'shem shamayim, it's for the sake of Hashem, it's not for the sake of my own self-aggrandizement. How do I know I'm really close to Hashem? Who can guarantee for me that I am at least miktani haktanim shemolso Yisrael, that I'm even the littlest of the littlest of those that are called the Jewish people. Shisna kadosh baruch hu imanu v'yisam li skulu melechus kodem v'yoy kadosh, upon whom God made conditions when He created the Jewish people, and said, "You're going to be for me a cherished people that are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." How do I know that I fit that bill, even on the lowest of lowest levels? So that's a person who's asking that question, even though he goes to shul 3 times a day, even though he keeps Chol Yisrael. But you know, the davening is, you know, we're looking at the clock kind of davening and stuff like that. So that's not really the kind of people Hashem wanted to make a covenant with. So how do I know that I'm much worse off than I think I am? Hein margish ani, and of course, even though I will feel sometimes lefamim, his oirus varshal kedusha, I will feel an arousal. I will feel a light of holiness. Avol ha'im batuach ani kfar bazeh, can I be so certain of what I am feeling? What I'm feeling? Because ha'im labilam la'avdol, lo nizkal nevus yosik dos eis etzerch, didn't even to the wicked Bilam, Lahavdo, has not been revealed in prophecies that were unbelievably great when it was necessary. And certainly he was no tzaddik. So and who knows that maybe there's a certain particular need that at this point I get an arousal from above, but not because I'm a tzaddik. In other words, Bilam got prophecy, not because he was a tzaddik, because God needed to give him prophecy to show the whole world that even if you, the non-Jews, have a prophet, you still have no excuse now for not being better people. So he didn't deserve the prophecy. It was to prove a point. So, and it was necessary. So maybe, you know, I'm getting a spiritual moment, but it's not really a spiritual moment, but it's something God gives me for the needs at that moment. Maybe these arousals do not make me into a holy Jew at all. Oh, so what are the arousals coming for? It could be at that moment when I get an arousal, I am standing at the point where I'm an inch away from totally drowning into the quagmire and quicksand of the gashmis of this world. And a little bit more and I'll be finished. I'll take a deep sea dive. And at that point, so that no Jew should ever be pushed away forever, next page, Roshi, comes a malach from Hashem, and he grabs me by the locks of my head, umalei, and pulls me out of the muck. Oh, v'nafshi margeshes ozma at me'or elyon, and now my soul feels a little bit of a spiritual lift. Ah, so it got me out of the dirt. But that doesn't make me a holy person. That just helped me not be a bum. So even though I felt a little spiritual feeling, it's not because I was working in my avodas Hashem and because I was trying to get closer and closer and closer. And then I brought that great spiritual feeling to come. I worked on opening up my neshama. No, I didn't do anything at all. That's the way you want to do it. You want an itaruta dilatata. You want an arousal from below. I did the effort. I pushed. I made it happen. And then I taka felt something. But maybe it was not that. Maybe it was nitaruta dilatata. Ela, it was an arousal from above where I didn't deserve it, but on credit Hashem says, okay, you know, I don't want this guy to totally fall apart, I'll give him a spiritual feeling. So I've had a few spiritual feelings, but that doesn't mean I'm a holy Jew. It's just that Hashem had rachmonis on me. Yeah.
So why doesn't this concept apply to all the lost Jews that have no concept even? What about their case of another Jewish?
So what are you asking?
So this arousal,
why don't they get it?
Yeah.
Who says they don't? But they don't take advantage of it. You don't think every secular Jew who comes to Westmount on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur from either the singing or the drushes of the class don't get an arousal? They get it, but the problem is they don't take advantage of it. They go, wow, it was amazing. It was great. We'll see you next year. Don't do anything with the arousal. Hashem, you know, Hashem gives you a certain amount of arousals. You let them go after so many years. Boom, God said, I'm not going to waste my arousals on you anymore. I gave you 10, 15. You didn't do anything with them. Not nothing. So forget it. I don't give you any more. Finished. Everybody gets it. Yeah, how can you not be aroused? 9/11 wasn't an arousal?
For the whole world.
At that moment, at that morning, at 9:30, when everybody thought the world was going to come to an end, Who knows how many more buildings are going to explode? Who knows if your relatives weren't going to die? You didn't get an arousal then? The whole world got an arousal. What did they do? Nothing. Nothing. Get all these things. God's been arousing us for quite a while in the last 4 or 5 years. And we just, you know, just, let's not think about it. Let's not think about it. Let's go back to the club. Let's go back to my business. Get my mind off of this stuff. It's too depressing. And you go on. So then, you know, it gets to the point where God says, okay, forget it. There's no more point in arousing you. Right? I get to, someone told me that a friend who, I told you this, I remember which class I said it. He was involved in a major, major accident. Major accident. He walks out without a scratch. And the friend says to him, you know, maybe you should bench Koimel. Thank God, come to synagogue. And they come for high holidays. So we come to synagogue, it was like mamish miracle. Never came to shul. I have to thank God. Now, just come one morning, just, you know, even though you don't know how to daven, you come and just come to the Torah and thank God that he saved your life. You know, I'm too busy. So I said to the guy, go tell your friend, I guess God didn't get your attention enough yet. You're asking him to wake you up even more. It wasn't enough. That's what happens. You get aroused all the time. You just waste them. Sometimes people take advantage of it. Sometimes. But I'm saying, all the time, I meet people and they have problems in their life and I tell them you should. Some do, but most don't. Most don't. So the people, God gives. So this fellow here, let's not get off topic. This fellow here, this is a Jew who is a thinking Jew. And all year long, he's worried about his Avodas Hashem. And if he's falling, what's with me? And he's thinking. And he says, V'im kibilim laveris chas v'shalom. Ain't enough alachayach. So even now that I got this little arousal, it got me out of the mud. Okay, so like Bilam to those averos, God forbid, I ain't gonna go that far. But I'm still in a fallen state. And the light of my extra soul is hidden from me. How do I know that maybe when I'm doing my avodas Hashem, but it's all part of my going down, meaning alios viridos, going up and going down, katnus for godless, acts of smallness and acts of bigness, right? And maybe not the opposite, God forbid. Maybe my ups are only salvations. It's a salvation to make sure that I don't, God forbid, get totally drowned. So, you know, we normally say, well, we got ups and downs, you know, I have a big moment, and then I go down to regular, and then a big moment, and then I go to regular, and big moment, regular. Maybe it's not big moments onto regular, maybe I've gone beneath, and now I'm coming up for air for a little bit, and then I go down into the sea. And then I'm coming up for air for a bit, and then going back down into the sea. Maybe it's not alios at all. It's just coming to breathe. But I haven't really hit any high peaks at all. It's just to get out of the sea, out of the ocean. But I'm really drowning in the ocean 99% of the time. So how do I know? So that's the challenges where a person a whole year long can be struggling. Right, is even the person who tries to work on himself. So he's saying, Zorak b'chol hashana, but that's a whole year long. Whole year long, we can question ourselves. We cannot be sure. Avol b'meha Pesach, but in the days of Pesach, Yedeyahu kvar bekirbo, he knows inside of himself, ki Yisroelhu, that he's a Yid. A thinking person knows this. And therefore, he figures, Lo dai lo halal echad sha'amar. It's not enough on Pesach night to sing one halal. Ubishira achas. And with one song, lo shakta nafsha so'eris. His soul hasn't settled. The soul that's got a sorah, like that storming inside of himself. It doesn't calm down with one song. Hayamim yimei kerem heim. These days of Pesach are ancient days. Hagan Eden Yorad Lo La'olam Hazeh. The Garden of Eden has descended down into this world, Vuyoshebo, and you're sitting in it right now. That's what the Seder night is. Your mom is sitting in Gan Eden. V'chulo Nepach Lishacher, and your entire essence has been turned over into another person. I'll call upon him leik veish Yisrael amitigia. At least to the heels of a true Jew you've reached on this night. Lozel hamoach velozel alev shel kol hashana. This is not the brain and the heart of a whole year long. Lel Pesach kvar ba. The night of Pesach has come. Vunasa lahar boer. He's turned into a fiery mountain. Ha'esh misparetz. The fire inside of you is just jumping out. I can't wait until the Seder. You know, you have all these examples with the kids, right? You tell the kids that you buy them Shabbos treats. So, you know, I buy them treats for every Shabbos. Sometimes I let the kids come. Usually like to make it a surprise because I'm little things to look for. Sometimes I tell one of the kids on a Wednesday, oh, I'll give you a treat. You can come with me. You can buy a Shabbos treat. You'll know what's coming up. And then, like by Friday afternoon, they already want the Shabbos treats. Mm. I can't wait. I have to have it. Little kid, you could see this. They're so excited. I wish Purim was today. I gotta wait all the way. A week. That's forever. How can I wait that long? Or your mom is holding that day. It's Erev Purim. The kids say, oh, come on, little kid. Can't we start dancing? No, you gotta wait. Right? So the same thing, it's Wednesday night, you're in shul, the Seder's in an hour and a half. You just can't wait. I can't hold it in anymore. I'm exploding. So we're just gonna have a dull, dreary Marv. Umuchrach tekev b'marv. As soon as Marv is over, as soon as you finish with Esrei, Lomra, I can't wait for a Hallel for 11:30 at night at the Seder. I gotta say it now. It can't control himself. So I gotta say Hallel at Marv. Right? That's as opposed to the other guys, one Hallel. Who can even say the Hallel by that point after you've eaten your meal? And then you're saying Hallel. Who's in the Hallel? You rush through it. Let's daven it up. Boom, 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 boom. We gotta somehow, even those of us who maybe take a little bit longer, I mean, there's all different kinds of people. So some people take an hour. For the Haggadah, it's not bad. At least you're saying everything, right? Okay, they spend 3 hours for the meal. Somehow that meal gets about 3 hours worth, and then it's already 12 o'clock. You've had a pretty nice Seder. It's gone pretty well. So now I'm tired. I'm sleepy. So we'll fly through the Hallel and we'll knock off the rest of the Haggadah in 25 minutes. Right. So that's the time we're really supposed to be rocking and rolling at Hallel time. You know, and the real problem you should have is, I don't know how I can do the Afikoman by Chatzos.
That's the problem.
Chatzos is chveis, whatever, 1:30.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be 1:30 or 12:30, I don't remember this year.
This year it'll be
1:30. The clock moved already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, clock moved already.
So it's a little bit better this year. It's a little bit better this year. 1:30, it's a big problem to finish that Gora by 1:30. And the meal by 1:30, that's...
118.
So then what do? You do like the Chumra Shitas, they eat two Afikomans, right? You gotta eat the Afikoman by Chatzos. Right? So by 118, many homes, we just finished that Gora by 12:30. Just finished that Gora. Now we gotta eat a meal. The halacha requires you to have a meal.
Proper meal.
And you wanna sing some more songs at the Suda. And all of a sudden, before you know, by 118, I gotta be finished with Afikoman. So you eat the Afikoman on condition that according to, there's a machloikas, I don't get no details, that if you have to say the Afikoman before midnight, but there's other opinions that you have all night, so you eat one Afikoman, then you continue, then you eat a second Afikoman. Right? But you can't do that when you're stuffing yourself with matzah balls and all those, desserts and pastries, and you stuff yourself on all the other non-essentials. Then when it comes time for the Afikoman, you're so stuffed you can't even eat one Afikoman, let alone two Afikomans. Right? So the truth is, if you're having a normal Seder, you're not even starting Hallel till 2:30 in the morning. Right? And then you only got how many hours till Vasikin? Till sunrise is only about 5:30. You're trying to rush just to finish the singing before, not rush, but you gotta finish the singing before Nate's.
Is 6:37.
Nate's 6:37. That's what it is now. It's gonna be an hour earlier than that.
No, they set the clock, Rabbi.
Oh, okay, you're back. Okay. So anyway, so you want to do it by that time? So you're exploding. You can't wait. Your mamish, you can't wait. You got to start halal before. I'm sorry. I can't wait. Right? And how strong the body is that's standing in its place at the time when the heart and the soul are dancing and jumping. They're buzzing and making so much noises of songs of Hashem. And when you finish the halal, and you're saying right in front of the Almighty, the last words of the halal, Ki lecha tov lahodos uleshimcha noal ezamer. Because to you it is good to praise, and for your name it is pleasant to give song to. Right? When you say those words, Kimat namay sliba bekirbo, his heart almost melts inside of him. Because what are you saying? Rabbeinu Shalaylam, Master of the Universe, Zel be'emes hatov hamiti. This is the truest good. Hatov shebechol olamos alyonim v'tachtonim. The best pleasure in the highest worlds and the lowest worlds. Lahodos lecha lezamer lishmecha. To give songs and praises to your name. Right, as the expression goes, it doesn't get better than this. I think they made a movie then with that line. It doesn't get better than this. This is the best. And that's how you have to feel at the Seder night. That's when you finish that halal at 3-4 in the morning. It doesn't get better than this. Right? Yoishev ala Seder. He's sitting at the Seder. Mekadesh, he makes Kiddush. Ve'oimer ha'gara, he says the ha'gara. Ve'oirich ha'shulchan, he sets the table, conducts the table. Ha-su'uda, that meal, asher me'ein su'udas olam abo, which is a taste of the meal of the world to come. That's what the Seder night is. You know, that Rabbi Nachman tells over the story of the simple Jew, the poor Jew, mamash lives in a dilapidated house, and every day all he can afford to eat is beans, and all he could put on is a worn-out, torn coat, you know. So he'd ask his wife for dinner. He'd ask his wife, dear, please, now it's time. Please serve me the steak, dear. So she brings him the pot of beans. And he eats it. He says, ah, never had such a good steak like this before. Right? And he says, here, give me my fur coat. So I can put my fur coat out to go into the cold. And she gives him his ripped and tattered jacket. He says, ah, that's so warm, this fur coat. You know, what does this mean? Because that's what we call, as the expression is, a ben olam haba. Right? Many times you have Chazal say, Ezehu ben olam haba. Who's a person of ben olam haba? Someone who says Ashrei three times a day. Someone who does this, someone who does that. What does it mean to be called a ben olam haba? As the Rebbe said already earlier, just like a ben navi. A ben olam haba means a person who in this world already tastes and feels what it's like to be an olam haba. The ben olam haba, for a ben olam haba, everything in this world is great. Whatever it is great. It's a steak. Because he's eating the sparks of holiness out of the beans. He's not focusing on the externalities of it. But an olam haza person, but a person who lives for this world, nothing makes him happy. So therefore, you know, when we're talking about a Seder here, I'm sure, you know, there were millions and millions of Seders that were done in poverty. Not the kind of, I mean, we are like mamish kings. Even the poorest one in this room, your Seder is like the biggest king 100 years ago. Right? But in those days, the mamish had very little, But each one of them, it was a meal in olam haba. Your Seder doesn't have to be so opulent. But the suud of the meal can still be me'en olam haba, the taste of the world to come, because all year long, you're a ben olam haba. So now you're getting the best of it all. And that's the same for Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come, but it's only a taste of what you're trying to accomplish during the 6 days of the week. If during the 6 days of the week you're trying to bring Olam Haba into your world, so Shabbos, Hashem will give you the gift that you're going to taste the Olam Haba. But if the 6 days of work you're just trying to make as much money as you can, so Shabbos is a taste of that. It's not a taste of Olam Haba. So this is the unbelievable Olam Haba you can feel at your Seder. The Rebbe is so beautifully. This is the Rebbe's song. This is his poetry right now. He's sharing with you, this is how a Jew should feel the Seder night. Gam Evrei Haguf Ozvim Kvar Es Gufni Osam. Even the body, the physical body, it leaves its physicalness. Vachushim, and your physical senses leave Es Chushi Osam, their senses. Next page, Resh page. Vachula Mishtachim Mizbat Nim Hashem. And they all bow down and nullify themselves to God. Shikol kach yizkarev eleinu ato, that he's come so close to us right now. Af ha-shulchan ha-neres v'ksolim, kulanu yachad nasim chativa achas v'chulam korim. Even the table, the candles, the walls, they all become chativa achas, one organic reality. They all bow down, bochim, they all cry, smechim, happy. Umahalalim, Lahodo v'tifartis baruch, and they give praise to his glory and his splendor of Hashem. Me'ein olam haba nasabem. They all become a taste of the world to come. Your table is the table of olam haba. Your candles are the candles of olam haba. The gefilte fish is the gefilte fish of the leviathan, the leviathan of olam haba. It's all olam haba. As the pasuk in Tehillim says, Yalo sadai v'chol asher bo. All my fields will rejoice in everything that's in them. Oz yiradanu kol hatzayir. They will all sing. All the trees of the forest will sing. Kulam neshamas tohiris, all the holy souls. V'chulam yachan, all together. Ovdim u'mishabchim, they all serve and praise. Lahod kedushas asher niskal neihem, to the splendor of his holiness that has now been revealed to their eyes. V'kama godlo yish eshon, how great is a Jew that's able to do the following. Shemam shech alayla hazeh, that's able to draw forth the visions of that night, l'chol hashana, into the rest of the year. V'samit shakua hu b'tahara, and he's constantly sunken in holiness, purity, kedusha, holiness, v'tzichtzuach elyon kazeh, and such a polishing and sparkling, a supernal sparkling such as this. The Haggadah, the Seder night, is supposed to give you enough for the whole year. That's the feeling you're supposed to get at the Seder. So he says, Va'af oz bepesach, and even then on the Seder night, Shazman gerim listaklus behod elyon yosesh mebechol hashana, that the time causes us to be able to gaze at this supernal splendor more than the whole year long. It's the opportune time, the 15th of Nisan. That's the special moment where Hashem just sends it all. Mikol makom, still and all, even if you feel something. Comes the day after Pesach, it's very hard for the person to explain what exactly his soul saw and what exactly his body felt. Go write a poem describing your feelings. So we'll say, wow. Unbelievable. Indescribable. That's what you're going to write. Blew me away. It was all, you know, all these terms we have nowadays, you know, they don't really say anything. Did you ever notice that? Yes, people, how was what? Oh, it was great. What does great mean? You know? It's a nondescript. It was something, man. Nothing like it. Okay, now tell me what it was. Go tell a secular person what you felt. Go tell yourself what you felt. I don't know what it was, but it was good. Still haven't described one word of what's going on. So it's kind of, you know, because then after Pesach, that level of soul is dropped. It's a big drop after Pesach. A big drop after the Seder night. Don't have to wait till Pesach's over. Right? That's why we begin to count Sfira, you see. That's the whole point of counting Sfira right after that. And on Pesach night, you felt for the first time a whole year long what it really feels to be a Jew. And when you begin to really feel what it means to be a Jew, then you begin to say to yourself, how am I supposed to act like a Jew? I haven't been acting the way I've been feeling. The way I feel tonight, what's my avodas Hashem? Nothing. So then what happens? What happens the next day, you know, as the expression is, easy come, easy go. You get this gift from Hashem for nothing, and the next day, come crashing down. That feeling is a faded memory. And you say, don't know what got over me last night. Tonight you're the regular guy. You know, whatever regular guy is. But you've lost something. You've lost something and you feel bad. And that's why, you know, so to speak, the Sfira is a period of mourning. Because you're mourning that beautiful feeling that you lost. It felt good at the Seder night. Now I'm back the next day fighting with my wife and kids, thinking about the business. You know, what happened to last night? It was such a beautiful, beautiful feeling. Why can't I get that again? So you go into a state of mourning. The mourning for that soul. It's the exact opposite of mourning that we normally have mourning for. Mourning, you mourn over the body. But here you're mourning over the neshama yisera. So you start counting sfira. It says, okay, maybe if I work hard, I can build myself back up by shavuos time. Maybe by shavuos I can get it back. But this time I'm going to have to work hard for it. I'm going to have to daven more. I'm going to have to learn, work on my midos. And then we work on the seven midos during the 7 weeks. If I could perfect my midos and I could work more to expose my neshama, maybe on my own I could bring this feeling back on shavuos. Right, that's the whole morning, you know, after Shabbos is over. Right, we have to have the besamim because the besamim revive the soul. The soul feels devastated that the extra soul is gone. It's a terrible, terrible feeling to lose that beautiful feeling. And with people are always looking at the clock, oi, when can I finish davening? What's the earliest time? 6:59. Oh, good, I'm planning to get in the car at 7. You know, good, finish with Shabbos. I got a hockey game to go to tonight. I'm gonna rate, as it is, I'm gonna miss the first 15 minutes.
Ooh.
You know, just, you don't even know what you lost. You don't even know what you had. And if you want to schlep the Shabbos out another hour, at least another hour or so. I can't bear to lose it. And then when you lose it, you're devastated. Your mama's in a state of depression. You lost a beautiful thing. Say hallel. Okay, we'll make you feel better. Say hallel. Havdalah. Smell the besamim. Okay, I'm revived. We'll make him a lava malka. You're not totally leaving it yet. Right? So that's how you're feeling. So after Pesach, it's so hard for you to describe what you felt. The most you could do is you could say, you know, I could tell there was a difference. The way my soul felt and my excitement level was on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I felt it something different than on Pesach. I could feel it was different. Describing, you still can't describe, but you're still saying it feels different. Shas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Gam HaOr, Gam HaSimcha, the light that comes through on Yom Kippur. And the joy of Yom Kippur is a tremendous joy in Yom Kippur because you're getting everything wiped away. Rosh Hashanah is a great joy that I am fortunate that I am crowning Hashem as the King of the world. Yom Kippur is a tremendous joy that all my affairs are going to get covered up. But there's a certain context of that everything is being weaved through. He's in kulam biyira aim of a pacharayu. But it's all with an overall underlying current of fear and awe that's been permeating the atmosphere. And you kind of feel that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But uva Pesach, when I'm Pesach, it's different. Gam hayira, whatever awe that there might be, be'avahi. It's with an overall context of love. So you can feel the difference. You can say, I know that Pesach felt different than Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They're both great. But it's a different feeling. B'Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Tzuras Kol Argashos V'Slavuyos HaNefesh HaYisayira. The form of all the feelings and all the excitement of the soul was basically all in the context of awe. U'B'Pesach Hod V'Kar Malchus Eilah. But in Pesach, it was the glory and the preciousness of the supernal kingdom. But beyond that, v'yosem izeh kushlevar, it's hard for him to explain anything more than that. Mipnei shema'ata hi riyoso, because his vision is small. Remember, our vision is very small. L'chein, so I can't describe what I have, but it's definitely different. The Seder is definitely different than Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I'm just overwhelmed with this sense of awe of Hashem, seriousness. And Pesach is just more of like just love. But what spiritually the feelings were, you can't figure them out. L'chein kasha she'yomer shira chadasha. That's why it's so hard for us to sing a brand new song. Vivor baruach hakodesh, and to explain with the divine spirit, es asher rasa nasha b'marom, to describe what my soul saw up there, the way the prophets could do it. And I can't make up my own song. I can't compose anything. So what do we have left? V'rak divrei shiros kidoshenu hu mefor mishabech. Only the words of the holy songs that the previous great people have composed, that I'm able to glorify and praise with. Ubahem, and with them, es riyaso riyas pnei nevim hu nosein. He gives his vision of the vision of the son of a prophet. He's able to contribute. What the Rebbe is saying is what he said earlier, a couple pages before. He's saying, you know, we can't come up with the exact words because our neshamas haven't really, we're not in touch with our neshamas to point to see what our neshamas are seeing, to describe what we're seeing. But when I take David HaMelech's words, and when David HaMelech expresses those words, and I read those words, and I hear those words, I go, yeah, yeah. You know, that's what I meant. You know, lahavdol, lahavdol, elef havdol, is never to say it all in the same breath. You know, a person who's falling in love. And he's been meeting this woman for a few weeks. And he really, really, really is in love with this person. And he's been away for her for a little while. And now he's gonna see her again, and he really wants to describe his feelings for her. So he goes out with her, going for a nice walk. He says, you know, I've really been thinking for a long time, about my feelings for you, and I want to tell you how I feel. Yes, 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 yes. I want you to know, I really like you. So she says, yeah, I really like you too. And then the guy finishes the day. He says, you know, what a jerk. I couldn't. I didn't even say what was really going on in me, right? Then he goes home. He puts on the stereo and he listens to some folk rock singer. And then you hear a love song. And he hears the words. He says, yeah, that's what I really meant to say. I really wanted to say, you know, those were that poet, that's how really men. So nowadays, what do? You just download it from the internet and send it to her and say, that's how I felt here. You know, or like I said, Cyrano de Bergerac, right? The guy couldn't write anything. He loved this one. He couldn't. So he went to the guy who wrote him all that love poetry, and he said that love poetry. Right? So, that's what I really meant. So, you know, a person is sitting down at the Seder, and you have so much feeling, and you just don't know how to say it. So guess what? You start reading that Gada. That's what I meant to say. And the Seder's over. It's 4 a.m. You start singing Shir HaShirim, the love song between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, that's what I mean to say. And you start connecting. You have that opportunity to connect. His own intellectual awareness can now connect with these words, these thoughts and perceptions that were spoken earlier from great people like Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech was able to see the king, the palace, the garden, just like we said yesterday, that story where you can't see so well, but you see up his colors. And then the guy says, I could see the king's palace. Oh yeah, yeah, that's what I've been seeing. So when you sing Shir HaShirim, it's exactly that. That's how I'm feeling right now. And so what you're doing is you're connecting your intellectual awareness, and you know there's something going on, but you can't give expression to it because you can't really see what they can see, but you can feel what they can see. You can feel what they can see. But if I feel what they can see, but I can't say what I'm feeling, I'm lost. And you walk away kind of frustrated. So instead of walking away frustrated, then you say these words of the Agada. I say, that's exactly how I feel right now. That's exactly how I feel right now. right? So it's the same thing Friday night, right? Friday night, you're feeling something. Something's overtaking you, and you don't know how to say it. You're at the wedding. I don't know what to say to the kala. I don't know what to say. I'm tongue-tied, right? So now Baruch Hashem, Shlomo Alkovitz comes into the room. And at this point you say, L'chodo di likras kalo. He says, yes, that's what I meant. That's exactly how I'm feeling. Bowi kala, bowi kala. If you mamish go through the simple words, lo se voshi, v'lo si call me. You shouldn't be ashamed. You shouldn't be embarrassed to dance. You shouldn't be embarrassed to express your closeness to Hashem. Kumi may offer, get up from the dirt. I've been in the dirt the whole week. I got to get out of the dirt. That's exactly how I've been feeling. And now I have words that can express what I'm feeling that I can't see, but Shlomo Alkovitz is able to see it. So it puts into words the feelings that you have. Even though you don't have the kelim, you don't have the utensils to express yourself. It's the same thing. And it's the same thing when we come Purim night to the Megillah. And tomorrow, since it's the last day, we're going to learn. We're going to just share a little bit of this same way, the same thing we're saying. You have to do the exact same thing Megillah night. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.